Today, I'm going to just spend a little time about basically what God is doing for us. And basically, the title of my sermon is going to be For Your Good. And, you know, it's written in the scriptures about all good things come down from the Father of lights. And that's all he wants for us. He wants good for us. And it's like the, you know, when people use the expression, stubborn as a mule. And I thought, that's kind of weird, actually, you know, because we're kind of dissing the mule, saying that he's the most stubborn thing there is, because actually, as far as I'm concerned, the most stubborn critter on the face of the earth is a human being. So, you know, if he was going to be as stubborn as anything, I figured he'd be as stubborn as a human, because we have demonstrated our stubbornness more than once. Just like when God brought Israel out, and here they were slaves. They worked constantly. They had no time off. They didn't have vacations. They didn't have holidays or anything like that. It was just every day was work. Every day. There was never a break. And he brings them out in the wilderness and he says, here's a Sabbath. You're going to have a day of rest. And they resisted it. I got to thinking about that. I'm like, I've worked every day in my entire life, never had a day off. And God says, okay, you're going to have a day off. And, well, I wasn't in their shoes, but it's just hard for me to imagine. Like, no, I can't do that. I've got to keep working, you know, whatever. But I'm like, it's kind of weird how God is trying to give us things that are good and we're rejecting it, going against it, resisting it. And you know, that's what it's getting down to, the bottom line, because God wants us to be good people. He wants us to be good to each other. He wants us to be like him. He's good to everybody. So I'll just start off with Deuteronomy 10:12. In Deuteronomy 10:12, God said, and now Israel, what does God, the Lord your God, require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good. For your good. He does not give us any commandment that is not for our good. And one of the things that always, you know, it took me a little while to realize, but you know, people talk about sin, and I'm like, who's hurt in sin? Who's hurt in sin? Is it not this the sinner and maybe the people he might have sinned against? But when we sin, it doesn't hurt God, only maybe the fact that we're not doing right, that maybe, you know, kind of like hurt his feelings, that we won't listen to him. But it doesn't hurt God, it hurts us. And he told us all these things, these commandments, so that we wouldn't hurt ourselves or hurt others. He gave these things for our good. And if you go to Psalms 40, verse 5, it's written, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God has done so many things, there's no way we can number all the good things that we're not even aware of all the good things God does to us. You know, this whole universe, we don't even know. You know, we just take this universe for granted, you know. The day will be, the sun will rise and the earth will spin around and, you know, the universe is there all the time. But how do we know that it works without, you know, it's just wind it up and turn it loose? How do we know that God doesn't have to support every part of this universe to make it work every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year? There's energy, there's power, there's great power that makes this whole universe work. And how do we know that every day God is supporting the whole universe and our lives within it? We don't know. We don't know exactly all the good things that God's doing. We're oblivious to it. And all the good things God does for us every day, every minute of the day, every second of the day, God is working. Jesus told us that. He's working. His Father's working. He's working. We don't know all that they're doing for us to even exist. But it's for good. It's for our good. He has a purpose for us. And that's the whole thing. We're here for a purpose. And the purpose, of course, is for Him to make sons and daughters. And for us to become like Him. If we go down to Micah 6:8, it's written, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God? To understand that everything God is doing for us is for good, for our good, for the good of all mankind, for the good of the entire planet. And the only reason we have all the problems that we have in the world is because we resist Him. We resist good. Mankind is resisting good. And the good wants good things for them to happen, for them, you know, for to happen to mankind. God wants us to have good things, a good life, a healthy life, good food, a quiet, wonderful life where you can, as it's written, sit under your fig tree in your yard. And no one will make you afraid, that you won't worry about your children playing, that nothing will come bad come to them. When he talks about his kingdom, not even animals will be dangerous. Everything will be good. That's the way the Garden of Eden was. That's why I tell people, you know, they kind of want to blame everything on Eve, but, you know, when the devil come and told Eve that she would know good and evil, she had no idea what evil was. She's never seen it. It didn't exist. So the devil was telling her, well, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. She had no idea what evil was. You know? There's so many things that we were just absolutely oblivious to His existence. And, you know, but one thing I can say, though, is once we're exposed to evil and the bad, it makes it easier to reject it, especially when you suffer from it. That makes it easier to reject. So I'm going to go down to Matthew 22:36. When they asked Jesus, it says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, on these two, loving God and loving your neighbor, all the law and the prophets hang. Everything that's in the law and the prophets is based on the love of God and the love of your neighbor. And it's interesting because God is wanting that from us. God wants us to be good to our neighbors, to the people around us, and to pray for our enemies. Pray that they will come to the knowledge and repent. And pray that people that do evil will repent and learn how to do good. Not to hate, but to wish good for others. Because that's all God is. He's good. He wants good for all of us. All of mankind, all the earth. And we're supposed to convert ourselves and learn how to be like him. To the only thing that's in our minds and what we want is good to happen to others. That we want love for our God, to love him, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. To love and cherish the people around us and look forward to the time that God is going to finish this process. Because there's people out there in the world who do not know God right now, but they will in the future. They will when he shows himself to them. You know, as Jesus said to Thomas, you know, he says, you believe because you've seen, you've stuck your finger in the holes in my body. He says, but more blessed is those that's going to believe that have not seen. But in the future, we're going to have a resurrection of all kinds of people like Thomas, who couldn't accept and believe by the witness of others. Looked at the world. It's just like all the people I see right now that look at the world and say, how can God allow this to happen? And it's hard for them to believe God will allow what is going on in the world. And it's hard for them to believe in God when all this bad is happening, when God is good. They just don't understand that we are in control of the world and the devil is helping us go down the wrong path. They don't understand that God does not have his kingdom established on the earth. And I have to point out this, the fact that when the devil tempted Jesus, and he said, you know, all these kingdoms of the world I'll give you if you bow down before me. And I have to tell these people, I have to remind them, if you notice, Jesus did not argue with him that he did not have the authority to give all those kingdoms to him. He said, worship the Lord and him only. He didn't say that the devil didn't have authority. The devil does have authority. And the scriptures tell us that the devil has authority on this earth. And the things that are happening on the earth is because of the devil's authority on this earth. So for those of us who have come to learn the truth, well, we have to convert ourselves and become like little children to God, because in the future we have to help other people understand this truth. That's our future. Our future is part of the kingdom. And what God is going for is to bring salvation to all, A-L-L, all of mankind. And Jesus told us, with God, nothing is impossible. So I never say any word about condemning anyone. Because God says it's not impossible for me to make one convert, to bring one to the kingdom of God. So I won't say anything. And he tells us, don't be condemning people. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. Don't take that up. And as Paul wrote, or I should say, he confessed in Acts before council, which I will say, this is pretty much my aspect of the whole thing too. He says, but this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call the sect, because this is early in the church, and these people that were preaching Jesus, they were considered Jews, but they were, you know, like heretics because they were preaching Jesus. But anyways, this is a sect. So the way which they have called a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. And that's the way we got to live. That's what God's expecting from us. God is expecting us to be like our eldest brother, like Christ. He's expecting us to transform our character into Christ's character and the Father's character. They're one. When Christ said we're becoming one with them, become one with them, it's to be one with them in love. And one with them that we look to do God's will on this earth. And that's what it's about. It's about us bringing God's will to this earth.